Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. It's even better that some of the normal back row people have been forced out of the back row seats and they've had to come further forward because other people got in the back row first. Isn't it good? So we've had a bit of a move around. It's going to wreck your morning. I'm not sat in the right place. I can't worship unless I'm in the back row but one. So that's a bit of a challenge for us today, isn't it? So before we do anything else, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that whether this is the first time in this particular place or the thousandth time, we thank you that we are welcome. And that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, welcome us into your family. You draw us with cords of love. And you say, trust me, come to me, all you are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You trust in the Father, trust also in me. That's what Jesus said. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we trust you today. We come into this place, a safe place. Help us to hear your voice, to respond in worship and love. Amen. Oh, it is such good to see a sea of faces, some of whom have not been here for some time. I won't embarrass anybody, but it's lovely to have visitors and people who say they've not been here for a while for lots of different reasons, and we're here. And I often say, and I'll say it again, this particular group of people will not be together again before we're in heaven. Because there are people here that just won't be here again. And so this particular group of people will never be together again until heaven. So could you just have a look around and make the most of this opportunity and give each other a smile as best you can. Some are not in a smiley place, and that's fine. You're okay to be miserable in church, to be sad, to be confused, and to be happy. So, but hopefully a smile makes things feel a little bit better. Just a couple of notices to highlight. It's the church AGM on Tuesday. Once a year, there are things we have to do, and which are good to do, to celebrate the year we've had, and to look ahead to the year that's coming. Everyone is welcome. So it's church members and all those who are regularly part of the congregation here. Do come. 7:15 for a 7:30 prompt start. Lots of things to cover, but they'll all be short and sweet. Just like the congregation. Thank you, David. But it will be short and sweet. You know what it's like. And we have a laugh, as well as it being a holy moment. And so do come along. If you've not come to a church meeting before, come to this one and let's be encouraged. I have some good news for you about something I want to share, which we want to launch lots of good news stories at the church meeting to encourage you to come. So come on the church meeting. Please do. Second thing is there's a pop-up prayer meeting. Lots of these are happening at the moment. People decided, let's pray. Let's pray for our situation in this place, in this country, but also in Ukraine. And Preston Baptist Church have given us an open invitation to go on Preston Green. Now, I've no idea where that is. I presume that's the place on the left before you get to Tesco's. It is good. So Preston Green, is it not? Where's Preston Green? Opposite your flats. Oh, it's on the seafront. Sorry, you would have all gone to the wrong place. Thank you. I'm so grateful. So opposite where Angela is, I know most of you have not got a clue where that is anyway. So go along the sea and you'll see a group of people near the Redcliffe Hotel, the north side of the Redcliffe Hotel. The posh chalet, yes, that's right, near the beach house. Go there to pray. There are gazebos going to be put up if it's raining, but the idea is that people come to pray. And we really need to pray at the moment. It's 3 o'clock, so it gives plenty of time to lunch and everything else, and it's just there to gather people together. And just a little thing that Debbie's given me today, you see I'm sporting just this beautiful little bow with the blue and yellow flowers. Some of those are available in coffee afterwards. If you'd like to give a gift and receive one of those, do get them. Thank you to Claire and Sue for our beautiful blue and yellow flowers. And Joan as well. It's a small thing. It's a small thing to do, but it's something we can do, isn't it? Just to say, yes, we stand with those who are suffering. We've been going through the songs of heaven at the beginning of our services on a Sunday morning. The book of Revelation is literally that. It's revelation. It's a revealing. The curtains are pulled back so we see what's going on in heaven. And the latest of these songs of heaven is found in chapter 15. This is another one of those songs that is yet to be sung. So this is looking ahead to this particular day when this song will be sung. And we can read it and hear it as our inspiration for worship this morning. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass, glowing with fire and standing beside the sea. Those who've been victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We're going to worship the King of ages. During our times of worship, feel free to collect some instruments, pick up a banner, sit quietly, or sing. Whatever you want to do, this is a time to worship the King of the ages.
Of mighty God, from above ever does. come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and wonder, I behold your face, singing, "What a faithful God have I." It is so good that on this day we know that our God is faithful. Shelter of your wings, hear my heart's reply, singing, "What a faithful God have I." Lord, all sovereign, granting peace from heaven, let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. I will tell of your great love for as long as I live, singing, "What a faithful God have I." Lord, thank you for the stories you've given us, the encounters, the perseverance that you've given us, that we can sing, we can say, you are faithful and you have brought us through.
Amen. thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. We have proved it over many, many years. And Lord, we still look to you to look after us, and we will be faithful to you. We pray, Lord, that each one here today will remember the times when they gave their heart to you.
Yes, sir.
And still continue to worship you in their lives.
Yes, Lord. Amen. When things are difficult, we need God's word.
And I'd encourage you, if you want to stand and join with me in a song, this is a way of getting God's word into us. And I'm really grateful that in this church we have lots of adult children. And this is an opportunity for you to be childlike. Children, you don't do this normally. But on this occasion, you can. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1. Go home and read it. It's great. So let's sing it, shall we? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever you go. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever you... Come on, let's go. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever you go. Last time. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever you go.
Hallelujah. Feel free to sit down. If you read Joshua chapter 1, you'll see what Joshua was going to have to do. And whatever we may face this week, it wasn't as much as Joshua had to do. So let that be a word for us, an encouragement. Mark, could I ask you to bring the offering up? So I didn't give you advance notice today, but if you could bring the offering up, that'd be great. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that you have given us an abundance, lots and lots of love, people in our lives, and material blessings. And as we've been learning, as we've watched on our TV screens, we do not want to take for granted anything that you have given us. And Lord, we pray now that you would multiply these offerings, that many others would know that you are a faithful God, that you will never leave them or forsake them, that they can trust you at all times. Amen. Amen. Right, today, what are you doing with the children today, Rowena?
We're going to sing praise and particularly prayer and the Lord's Prayer.
Praise and praying and particularly the Lord's Prayer. And it's Rowena and Josie are going out today. So you're going to have a great time. And now's the time to go. But we'll pray a blessing. And as we often do, if you're near a child, or even if you're a long way away from a child, do stretch out a hand. It's just a sign of blessing. Father, we thank you for our children, Melissa and Lexi and Joseph and Connie, Evie and Izzy. We thank you for our primary school children that are here, and we've got older children as well. But Lord, we thank you for our primary school age children, and we pray you bless them in this time, that they would realize they do pray and they can pray. They can give you praise, and you love to hear praises and prayers of these children. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good time. Have a good time. And Andrew, if you could come up for our first of our two Bible readings from Job.
First reading is the beginning of the book of Job, which you'll find on page 509 in the church Bibles. That's page 509, book of Job, starting at the beginning. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make an arrangement for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going to and fro on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them. They are dead. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised in all this. Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Let's pray for Sina.
Father, thank you for the word that you've given to Sheila some time ago that is here now for us when we need it. Pray that we would hear your word, be comforted, strengthened, and encouraged. Pray you bless Sheila with the freedom and the power and authority that comes from your word. Amen.
Two, three, four. Good. Excellent. Oops, a bit louder. When the Lord gave me this word this morning, my first reaction was, oh no, you must be joking. Because it's not an easy word to give this morning. But it wouldn't go away. But I've had confirmation over the last month that it was the right thing to do. But there have still been times, even this week, when I thought, I can't bring that sort of message. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a vast subject, and I don't plan to cover it completely this morning. And if you've got any questions afterwards, this guy over there, no, the pastor, if you do have any questions, feel free to ask. And but I'd like to read... In my readings this week on Wednesday, I thought it was so applicable to what I am going to share with you this morning. So if you'll give me permission, this is by Sarah Young, and it's Jesus Always. My ways are mysterious and unpredictable, but they are good. When you look at world events with so much rampant evil, it's easy to fearful and discouraged. You cannot comprehend why I allow such cruelty and suffering. The difficulty lies in the fact that I am infinite and you are not. Many things are simply beyond your comprehension. But do not despair. When you reach the limits of your understanding, trusting me will carry you onward. Affirm your trust in me through silent and spoken prayers. Stay in communication with me. Don't get trapped in a posture of demanding to know why. This is the wrong question to ask me. The right questions are, how do you want me to view this situation? And what do you want me to do right now? You cannot change the past, so start with the present moment and seek to find my way forward. Trust me one day, one moment at a time. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. And that really blessed me on Wednesday morning, and I thought, okay, Lord, it is right I do that sermon for Sunday morning. And it's not always easy to give what the Lord's given you. But my first reaction, of course, was, oh, I can't preach that. It's not a happy sermon. That was my first reaction. And you might say, what? This is not a happy sermon. Why are you bringing this to us? But bear with me, there is hope. There is hope. So bear with me on this first part of Job. And if you ever have the courage to read Job, it's not an easy book to read because there's lots of stuff that happens to him and his family and so on. But I would encourage you to read it because It shows you who God is. That he is in control. He still is. Hang on to that. When tragedy strikes innocent people, it challenges our belief that God is good, wise, and powerful. The book of Job explores these great questions and gives us some bearings. First of all, God entirely desires the well-being of his creation. He has pleasure in Job's upright life and trusts that he will keep his faith even though intense and prolonged trials. If I was to speak to quite a number of people here this morning, they could share stuff that's been happening to them recently that's been trials and has been tough. We all go through various trials and situations in our lifetime. He loves you. God has pleasure in Job's upright life and trusts that he will keep his faith even though intense and prolonged trials, as I said. God clearly is stronger than evil. Hang on to that. God is stronger than evil, but allows evil to have its effect for the time being. As we used to say when we were young, Satan will get his comeuppance. He will. Just read Revelation and you'll see why. The world is a place in which we can make moral decisions and develop godly character. Hardships and temptations play their part in getting us spiritually fit. You might think, huh, that's not very good, Sheila. I don't like the sound of that. But I have to be honest with you, brothers and sisters. It's through trials that I have come to know Jesus even closer. It's through trials, yes. Praise and worship is wonderful and it's right. But trials draw you closer to him or pull you away. Which way are you going to go? It's your choice. So, we live in a fallen world. You have to understand that. Sin is here. We live in a fallen world. Because of what Adam and Eve did, we live in a fallen world. It is not perfect. And don't think because you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ that everything will be perfect. It won't. But Jesus will be there with you in it. And I can see a lady nodding her head, and I know why she's nodding her head. And you see, it's so true. Whatever situations you're in, Jesus is there with you in it, if you will allow him. So we live in this fallen world. And we often suffer for our mistakes and reap the consequences of our actions. But it isn't always so. There are exceptions. The Bible shows us people who get what they deserve and people who don't deserve what they get. I can remember, praise the Lord, he's healed me of that, but I had cancer quite a few years ago. And somebody said to me, well, why you? And I said, why not? We're not exempt of the world around us and the sin that's within us and you know, the heartaches and all that sort of stuff. The book of Job shows us undeserved suffering. We cannot simply say that God always blesses the good and always punishes the evil, the wicked, sorry. Every day we see good people suffering while wicked people prosper. I was brought up to be honest, not to steal, and things like that. And where I worked, there always some, not all, I have to say, but there was always somebody that would pinch something out of the office or pinch something from work that thought, well, no, they don't need that. They've got plenty. Look, there's a whole tray of those things. I could just do with those now. In your pocket, off, gone. That's the world. Sin. It is what it is. Sin. Every day, we see God's people suffering while wicked people prosper. We may not find all the answers to our questions in Job, but like Job, we have a question put back to us. Will we let God be God in our lives? It's your choice. Will we let God be God in our lives? Have you ever felt that God is unfair? Have you cried out to God, why is this happening to me? If anyone was ever tempted to question God, it was Job in just this first chapter. Job was considered a great man with godly character, and he obviously had a deep faith in God. Don't rely on your wife's faith or your husband's faith or your dad's faith or your mum's faith. You have to have faith in God yourself. That's vital. You can't live off somebody else's faith. You've got to have it yourself. Sorry, that sounds very strong, doesn't it? But you know what I'm saying. You've got to have it for yourself. Job, as I said, was considered a great man. He had that inner strength that helped him to do the right thing under pressure. His character showed in his behaviour, revealing high standards of right and wrong. Satan accused Job of serving God only because of God's blessing. And sometimes as Christians we can do that. Oh, I've been really blessed this week. God's really blessed me. And not being honest and said, but I had a rough day the other day. You've got to be honest with God and yourself and with one another. Be honest. Oh, I'm really struggling today. But God help me in it. Bring the praise to God, your Father. So here's Satan accusing Job of serving God only for what God can give him. Give, give, give. A bit like a child. When I was little, a long time ago, we used to go and visit my uncle in Coventry. I lived in Leamington Spa, and he lived in Coventry, and we used to go with my family to visit my uncle. And I loved it. I loved it because he always gave me 50p. I was a child. I loved it because he played the saxophone, and I loved the saxophone. Oh, it's gorgeous. But not only that, but he used to give me some money to come home with. And I thought it was wonderful. This was just after the war, by the way, so, you know, it was a long time ago. But, you know, I wanted to go because I knew I was going to get something. Are we like that with God? Now, God is all loving and caring, and he wants to give. But do we give back to him our praise and our worship and the way that we live? So, Satan has access to God and accuses believers before God. He accuses believers before God. You might say, well, that's not very helpful, is it? Satan saying to God, when I did something wrong the other day, God knows anyway. But Satan accuses. God loves. That's the difference. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. We read this in John 8:44. So it's not unusual for him to make these accusations. God gave Satan permission to attack Job's family and possessions. That's hard to take, isn't it? God gave him permission to do that. But God knew Job. God knew he was faithful. God knew he would cope with it. Would you? God gives you a challenge. But we must remember, God is sovereign. It may be frightening at times to think that Satan can bring trials our way. But again, we must remember that God is more powerful than Satan. Satan is real, and he's not that thing with, you know, he's real. He's real. But he is under God's feet. this platform's a bit flat. If I was on another platform, it would really sound well, you know. But he's defeated. Read Revelation, you're going to see it all in there. It's amazing what is going to happen to him because of his evil ways. But God gave Satan permission to attack Job's family. But always remember, God is sovereign. In 1 John 4, verse 4, we are told, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world." The one who is in you, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've come to the cross and confessed your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and said you're sorry and repented, you are a child of God. Ask yourself that question this morning. Have you done that? Only God knows your heart. I don't. Have you done that? The one who is in you is Jesus. If you have asked him to be your saviour, the one in the world is Satan. And he's always fighting against us. Please remember, you're in a battle. But you have the commander, Jesus, in you to fight the battle. You can do it. God is still in control. Job lost his children, his servants, his possessions. In verse 13 to 19, everything was gone. We have seen on the television only the last 2 weeks, people standing there, "I've lost everything. Everything is gone." That hurts me to say it. It's happened. But that is what it is. But God gave Job inner strength to accept the problem he was facing and deal with it. He had to deal with it. You may be in a situation that you think, "I can't deal with it." You've got to deal with it with the strength of Jesus inside you. Not your own strength. You can't do it yourself. But Jesus is within you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Well, I could get so excited, but I must try and keep to my sermon notes. And but after all this happened to him, Job got up, tore his clothes. Can you imagine the hurt and the pain of losing his children, his servants, everything he had? Tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job 1 verse 22, in all this Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. When I was a very young Christian, I worked on the land and I did a lot of hoeing and digging up docks and stuff like that, as you did when you worked on the land. And I can remember one day not feeling like it at all. I wasn't in the mood for hoeing in between lettuces and getting all the weeds out. I just wasn't in the mood that day. And I remember being in the middle of the field on my own and just saying, "Well, God, it's your fault. This has happened. It's because of sin." So, you know, God is very gracious. I have to say, he's very gracious. And I obviously learned a bit more since then, but I was very young then. Job, I'm sure, felt deep sadness and pain and hurt, but he turned to God in worship, not anger. Anger is not from God. It's from the pit. It's from the devil. It is not from God. "Well, I have every right to be angry. They've done this and they've done that." Well, yes, possibly, but it's not from God. Always remember that. In in his sadness, I just can't imagine what Job felt like, and I can't imagine what the people in Ukraine are going through at the moment. It hurts me. How much more does it hurt God to see the humanity against humanity? It's awful. Going to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul talks about a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him. Three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That's difficult, isn't it? God's power is made perfect in weakness. We're always taught to be strong, to stand up to everybody. Nobody's going to get their own way with me. It's true. You go to school, you're taught to stand up for yourself and so on. And in the playground, if you didn't stand up to yourself, you got bullied and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, it's so different with God. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. When we face trials as we will, God wants us to turn to him in worship and praise by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your own power. But you still have to do it. There have been times when I've felt really low about situations and so on, I'm sure all of you have. And through gritted teeth, I will praise the Lord, yeah, through gritted teeth. But that's okay, because those gritted teeth suddenly open up and you're starting to praise. It works. It works. Try it. It works. So when we face these trials, turn to him in worship by the power of the Holy Spirit, rather than turning away from him in anger. It's easy to blame God for things. Easy to blame others. But God wants us to trust him. God, again, as you read on in chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, God allowed Satan to test Job further by taking away his health. All his family and everything had gone except for his wife. And as you read on, she wasn't very helpful. It's... God again allowed Satan to test Job further by taking away his health. How overwhelming it must have been for Job to fight pain while mourning the loss of his family and possessions. Oh no, not again, we would be thinking. And I've done that when things have happened, particularly physical things upon your body. You think, oh no, I've just got over that. Now this has come. Oh no, I've got a pain down there. Oh no, I've got to do down there. That's life. That's life, guys, and you've got to learn to deal with it and give it to the Lord, who can help you through it. There we go. Yeah. But Job had a choice to make in his trials, just like we do. Will we trust God to be with us? Like Job, we can ask for God's help to accept problems as part of God's plan to show his strength in us. As I said earlier on, looking back on my Christian life, I've grown more when I've had trials than I have when it's been nice and easy. Believe the promise of Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been called according to his purpose. Have you found out what that purpose is? Or are you just living your life? Have you found out what it is? Are you seeking what it is? As a church, we should still be seeking what God wants for this church. Are you a seeker? It's not easy, but by the power of God, you can do it. Believe you can do it, because Jesus is within you. You've got to work it out. You've got to act upon it, but you can do it. This was given to me some time ago, and when life gets hard, I read it to remind myself. You're an overcomer and more than a conqueror. You have nothing to fear. God is for you, so who can be against you? You're a child of the one true King who loves you with an everlasting love. Press on. Have hope, because God is faithful. Job's wife saw him suffering and told him to curse God. I can just imagine her coming along. Well, just look at it now. First the family, and now just look at it. All boils. You look awful. I can just imagine it, quite honestly. But she said to Job, curse God, curse God. Even his wife gave him the wrong advice. Sometimes when suffering comes, well-meaning people will give wrong advice. That is why it's so important to turn to God and his word for direction yourself. Yes, we need prayer from other people. Yes, we may need to talk things through. But you've got to do it for yourself. Because it's more powerful when that happens. Job accepted his problems as part of God's plan for him. He showed the proper reaction to his suffering. His attitude was praise. Praise is the key to walk our road with the Lord. Andrew, could you bring our next reading, please? Job 42, 12 to 17. Thank you.
Job chapter 42. And starting at verse 12, which is on page 542. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third, Keren-Hapuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years.
Thank you, Andrew. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. If you're going through trials at the moment, it will end. Hold on. Keep trusting. Job decides to trust his God when all appeared hopeless. His hope was in God. Where is yours? As a Christian, our hope is in God and his word. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord. God, you are my trust from my youth. You may have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ as a youth, as a child. Do you have that same trust that you had when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a challenge to us, isn't it? Psalm 119, verse 147. I rise before the dawning of the morning, cry for help. It's okay to cry for help, by the way. It's okay. Don't think, God, I'm here again. Which we can, when it keeps coming back, you know. God hears it for the first time. And I love that. Don't be afraid of crying for help. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just finish on and conclude on Isaiah Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Where are you in that today? We have somebody very sad, and we know what that's like. But then imagine that this is you, and the Lord is shaking you out of your nest. Perhaps you've known the Lord a long time, and he's saying, come on, come on, I'm going to shake you out of this nice, comfortable nest that you're in, because I want to challenge you. Oh no, Lord, don't challenge me, please. But he wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. That's why he challenges us. So here we are, trying to encourage this young eagle to get out the nest and calling it, come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it. I want you to imagine God is saying that to you. But then suddenly, right, I'm going, I'll go for it now, and off. It's a human reaction, isn't it? We want to trust God, and God tells us to go just one step at a time. Always remember that. But it's that step, and sometimes it's a massive step, and you think, I can't cope with this, I can't cope. Of course you can't. But God can help you, and will be there with you in it. And he will come alongside just like the eagle does and take you up in his wings and his arms to take you through it. So I just want to encourage you. Let God shake your nest. It's not comfortable, but let God shake your nest and allow him to take you where he wants you to go, wherever that may be. And I can say, he is a faithful God. Amen.
It's time to fly. Time to fly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word that comforts, strengthens, and encourages. Lord, we don't want this word snatched out of our hands, out of our hearts this morning. I pray you'd sow it deep in our hearts now, that you are faithful, you can be trusted with anything and everything, and you will bring us through. But more than that, we will soar on wings like eagles. You have a purpose for us that is glorious. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. In this moment of quietness, ask the Lord to help you with whatever it is that you need help with today. And if you know that you have gone away from God, be assured of this, it's a quick way back. His arms are always open, and he is ready to forgive and to restore you. May this. And for any here today who know of you, are started to get to know you, but who have not repented, turned around, said to you, forgive me, be Lord of my life. This is your opportunity today, in this moment, to say sorry to God, to be forgiven, and to be born again as a child of God as you put your faith in Jesus. He wants you in his family forever. Lord, we thank you that every word we've heard today is true. In a time where lies and false truth, which is just lies, is so current, we thank you for the truth that we can build our lives upon. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It's good to seal what God is doing in worship, and our worship song now, before we come to a time of prayer and then our last song. But this song now is a song to seal what Sheila has been sharing with us today. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone.
Be good now just to have a time to pray for those who perhaps who have those questions. Why? How can this be happening to us? And some will have faith. Some will be struggling with their faith, and others will not have faith. I think particularly of the situation in Ukraine, but there'll be others as well. So let's pray as the Lord leads us for his strength, his comfort, his peace, his breakthrough for those in need. Lord, as we think of that last part of the song, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. Lord, you brought the Israelites through the sea to escape the Egyptians. And Lord, we know at this moment there are people who need a way opened up, a safe way opened up for them to escape those who are oppressing them. And Lord, we pray again, as we prayed before, that you work a miracle, that you overturn enemies, you overturn natural problems, you overturn physical obstacles. We pray that you would bring people into a safe place from Ukraine in this immediate need now. And we know that in the future we want to see a completely new, peaceful situation come about. But right now, Lord, we pray for those who need a way out, that they will be given one. Amen.
Lord, even though you split the sea, it must have took an awful lot of courage when you think of the sea, each side of it, how high it must have got. Must have took an awful lot of courage to go forward and walk through that sea, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that you did do that, and they had the faith to walk through. To walk through that sin, to walk through the path that you had opened up for them. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry empathy to God in prayer. Lord, we just count it a privilege that we can bring all our problems and troubles to you. We thank you, Lord, no matter what else happens in the world, you are still in control. And Father, we just pray for the difficulties there are now, that you will bring your healing. I ask this in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
When we look at our television screens and hear what's going on day after day, night after night, Lord, it breaks our hearts. And Lord, we're so sorry for those people there and the situation they found themselves in. It could have been us, Lord, just a European nation just like ourselves. Many will have faith in you, Lord, and we pray you'll keep their faith strong. Many will not have that faith. We just pray, Lord, that you will work mightily in that situation and show your power, Lord,
yes,
to the world,
yes,
that this evil might be taken away, and that will bring restoration.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray for all the children who are being banded around, dragged on buses and dragged along the roads, Lord. They just don't know where they're going, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will comfort them, that they
they will know your comfort as well as the comfort of their families. We pray for all the men who have been gone off to war and the families who are being sent all over the country. Thank you for all the places where they're being received and for all the love that's being shown towards them. Lord, we thank you for our children here this morning. We pray for all of them, that each one will know you in their lives and that one day will come to accept you as their Lord and Saviour. We pray this in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Often we don't know how to pray, but Lord, you've given us a prayer, and we know the children have been looking at this morning. So let's join our prayers together with the Lord's Prayer that he has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Come to our closing song, which is about hope, and we need hope. There is a hope.
Beauty of the day divine, when I feel for despair.
fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.